I'm joined today with Maya Ramnath, who is an author and activist based in New York City. We're going to be talking about her new book. It's out on AK Press, called Decolonizing Anarchism, an Anti-Authoritarian History of India's Liberation Struggle. Welcome to the program, Maya.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Great. So just to begin, tell us a little bit about your book, Decolonizing Anarchism.
Well, this book is part of the Institute for Anarchist Studies Anarchist Intervention series. And so for me, I was sort of trying to make two simultaneous interventions. And that is that I feel like my political ethic has sort of been guided by two pole stars or two principles, which are anarchism and anti-colonialism. And yet these are conversations that often people see as very separate. So my intervention was sort of to use anarchist thought to change the ways in which we think about anti-colonialism, and at the same time to use anti-colonial thinking to change how we understand anarchism. So the book, uses the specific history. It's a South Asian history because that's my entry point into a lot of these ideas. But I think that the general principles are more widely applicable.
Okay, so we're just kind of exchanging emails before, and you're explaining that the book has a dual purpose, which is filling in a history of looking at South Asian social movements, and talking about practical issues relevant to contemporary North American anarchists, particularly about what it means to be in active solidarity. So can you talk a little bit about what you see as an active solidarity with movements in South Asia?
Yeah, and I guess that too, the history aspect and the praxis aspect, for me, those things are really hard to separate because I mean, we're part of the same history. We're part of the same social movement history. And this was part of the point I was trying to make about an anarchist understanding of anti-colonialism, is that national liberation struggle as a form of decolonization is bigger than the formation of a state. So for me, thinking about anti-colonialism can't be thinking about nationalism. So from that perspective, the struggle for liberation in India's case didn't end in 1947 when India and Pakistan were formed. And in any other struggle, which has resulted in the formation of a state after a period of colonial rule, now people are struggling against neocolonialism, which replicates the same economic dynamics globally, or indigenous movements are still, these are underway. This is not ancient history. And so for me to study this history and for me to be engaged in solidarity have to go hand in hand, right? I don't feel right studying this history in the abstract. It's something in which I feel responsible as well. So as far as active solidarity, whether it's with South Asian social movements who are struggling against the incursions of neoliberal capitalism, or internal colonialism is the term that gets used, which is simply that the post-colonial state directly inherited and continued to use a lot of the mechanisms that the colonial state used, which enables us to sort of expand the analysis from the problem wasn't just foreign rulership, the problem was these mechanisms of the state itself. I know I'm getting a little far away from your direct question, but to me, I guess this is all part of like recognizing the processes that were part of colonialism in its classical form. These processes are still there in the world, whether it's neocolonialism or whether it's U.S.-backed authoritarian dictatorships. And I feel like the practice of active solidarity has to recognize where we're located in relation to that history and in relation to the structure as it exists today. So it's never a matter of, going to a place and saying, I'm going to be your privileged savior. It's about recognizing relationships to people in both space and time and structurally, and saying, okay, from my spot in this structure, what can I do to undermine this system, to end the structure of oppression? Someone else is at a different spot in that structure, and they might have a different task to do. So I think it's looking at what our own tasks are with a lot of respectful communication with other people at other points in that structure and trying to link up those efforts.
So maybe to pick up on this idea, and talking a little bit about active solidarity, one thing that I've kind of observed with anarchist movements, specifically and explicitly anarchist movements in North America, is when engaging in international solidarity, there seems to be this tendency to seek out groups or movements around the world that define themselves as anarchist within a Western notion of anarchism. And so I'm just wondering, is this a tendency that you've seen, and, you know, how might you critique this or not, given, you know, what you're looking at with the South Asian context? And is that even applicable, like looking at the South Asian context through a Western notion of anarchism?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think it's something that I was sort of implicitly responding to when I started this project. Yeah, I do see that generally, very much so, that Western anarchists love to claim other movements in the world as anarchist as well. And that to me is a colonial tendency within Western anarchism that I think has to be struggled against. It's less applicable in the South Asian case than in some other ones, because so given the specific, the very particular history in South Asia, that's not a terminology that people really relate to very much. And, you know, I'd have to go into detail on the histories of which, you know, which words and which associations with words come about through one history. But yeah, it's not a vocabulary that people really use there. They have very negative associations with it. So for me, in relation to South Asian social movements, And not just South Asian social movements, but anywhere, for me, it's a lot more important to look for what are the underlying principles that I associate with anarchism as I understand it. So if I look for, you know, what's an anti-hierarchical tendency? What's a decentralized form of organization? Where are the principles of an intersectional anti-oppression struggle? So I look for all the principles that to me are key to what I embrace about anarchism, and where do I see them in other manifestations that maybe are using other words but have a different appearance due to their own particular histories. So for me, part of the process of decolonizing anarchism, and I talk a little bit about this in the sort of the theory section of the book, is making, rather than making anarchism sort of the test case that other things are expected to resemble, I'm trying to make the Western anarchist tradition one example of a larger thing that also has manifestations elsewhere, so that the relationship is more like cousins than like a parent-child sort of relationship.
What are some kind of things happening, either I guess in the contemporary sense that are ongoing with social movements there, or that you've seen recently that you find interesting, and that maybe you've reflected on them in this book, just to kind of get into some of the specifics?
Yeah, well, I think some of the recent stuff that's going on is there's a lot of resistance going on right now to land acquisition, whether that's for special economic zones, for mining operations, and these resistances are being framed in terms which are very, very resonant with anarchism, because they're looking at the state. This is sort of what I was alluding to with this internal colonialism. So they're seeing the state, the Indian state, as a very oppressive force who is behaving exactly as a classical colonial regime did, which is that we'll go into a less developed area, frame the people as primitives or as racially lower in a racial hierarchy, and see them as a source of raw materials, very, very exploitative in terms of removing the wealth of the area and taking it to a metropolitan center elsewhere for profit. So it's a very... It completely echoes the older colonial relationship, and people are putting it in those terms. And so where I see these struggles for land acquisition often happens in areas where there's Adivasi is a term which is sort of equated to indigenous or tribal. That's the sort of vocabulary that you see around the communities that tend to live in these areas. And you get a similar dynamic of what's their relationship then to urban activists who are, you know, leftist activists or people connected to international NGOs, and there's a lot of complications there too. But I think this sort of land acquisition struggle where it's in a mineral-rich area or a heavily forested area, these are places where I see the discourse very, very much resembling the older anti-colonial history. And also, incidentally, where, and again, they don't use the terms anarchism, but where, excuse me, where I'll see critiques of the state and critiques of a centralized repressive power that, again, are very, very compatible with anarchist understandings of police repression and state repression.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to bring it back again to the North American context, I mean, it's interesting to Be looking at decolonization anarchism with regards to other parts of the world. But I kind of wanted to try to bring it back into the framework of North America and Turtle Island, and of course this being stolen indigenous land as well. So what would you see as kind of some of the links that we could draw out of the work that you've done looking at South Asia and maybe looking at indigenous movements and anarchist movements right here?
Yeah, and I feel like that question has to always underlie everything. I mean, we can't possibly avoid it since we do live here. And I think to ignore that fundamental fact about our very existence is irresponsible. And yet it's also, there's no easy answer to it, because I don't think the answer is simply to say everyone should leave and go back to where your ancestors came from, because that's just not practically, it's not really a practical answer. But I feel like, kind of as I said before, if I'm studying the histories of decolonization and anti-colonialism in wherever it is in the world, I have to be conscious of around me. How does that play out around me? What's the history where I am? How do I relate to the affected people? And so this is something I feel like, I don't know how, I feel like maybe it's different in different regions of the continent, but I've had this conversation a lot with people in the New York area that it's a challenge to ourselves always to try to have better relationships with indigenous communities in our area. And this has come up a lot in relation to the Occupy movement as well. And as you probably know, there's a lot of controversy even around the use of that language, that occupation. There's a whole movement to replace the term occupation with decolonization because of the sense that that term has. I think it's kind of very tone deaf not to recognize the associations that term has with military occupation, with dispossession.
I just wanted to go back also to an idea that you brought up before that I found really interesting. So this idea of putting anarchism and anti-colonialism in dialogue with each other. I'm wondering if you could just elaborate that on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think there's several senses in which they have a lot to say to each other for me. And one is simply because when I look at the anarchist tradition, I'm talking about the Western anarchist tradition, and if I'm looking at the sort of development of anti-colonial discourse in South Asia over the last century, let's say, there's these conversations continually are echoing each other. So what the things that the anarchist tradition critiques and the things that the anti-colonial discourse critique are pretty much the same. They're talking about the onset of a lot of the processes we associate with modernization, which is industrialization, which is the increase of state control, the rationalization of society. Like all these facets of modernization are a big part of what anarchism is responding to and what anti-colonialism is responding to. And I'm not trying to say that I'm not an anti-modernist, I'm not an anti-civ person in any sense, but I think the response to these processes is a lot of the wrestling with what to do about those processes underlies a lot of both of those discourses, the anarchist and the anti-colonialist discourse, with a few differences. And this is also not to say that, because this is part of a colonial narrative too, that, oh, the colonial powers brought modernity to the backwards areas of the world. And I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that in an actually existing history, you couldn't separate the experience of modernization from the experience of colonial occupation, because they did happen to happen that way. They didn't have to, they wouldn't have had to in an alternate universe, in an alternate history, but for us, that is how they happened. So the experience of the onset of these processes of modernization in South Asia occurred in relation to not just wrestling with what do you do with the social and economic changes that that's creating, but what do you do with this cultural cataclysm, really. So there's always this complicating factor within the anti-colonial discourse of race and culture. And I think that that's the key factor. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for creating resonances to talk about the experience of dispossession. People talk about the enclosure of the commons. You know, a lot of the language that we now use in anarchist conversations is a language of primitive accumulation that is part of the experience of colonization. But the key difference is this factor of race and racial hierarchy and this racialized logic that underlay the colonial expansion. And that's where I feel like we can recognize the parallels, but we overlook that historical specificity and that racial logic at our peril. And that's where I feel like bringing anti-colonial thought to anarchism makes it confront its own relationship to the history of race.
So again, we're speaking with Maya Ramnath, who is the author of the book Decolonizing Anarchism: An Anti-Authoritarian History of India's Liberation Struggle. It's out now on AK Press. You mentioned this at the beginning of the interview, Maya, but this book is part of the Institute for Anarchist Studies Anarchist Intervention Series, and you're also a board member of the Institute for Anarchist Studies. So can you just tell us a little bit about what that institute is, and a little bit about this book series?
Well, the Institute for Anarchist Studies has been around for a while, and its role has kind of, it used to be known as primarily sort of a grant funding body that would give out a little bit of money each year to people who would propose research projects on anarchism and theorizing contemporary anarchism or doing histories that would relate to that seemed relevant for now and always linked to praxis. And it was just sort of that was its narrow project. And in recent years, we've really been expanding it more so that that's it, our mission is really to put anarchist thinking out into the world in ways that are constructive and that are usable, and because we think that this kind of thought is what we need to solve a lot of the problems that are in the world. So among the ways we do that are we still give out grants and we encourage people to write in with proposals. We have a meeting where we award the funding for that year twice a year to the different research proposals or translations or creative writing, all different kinds of things. And then we also, about a year, 2 years ago, started the book project in which different authors sort of tackle different themes related to anarchist thought that we think are important contributions to the discourse that people can use. And then we also recently started a project called the Lexicon Series, which is sort of a vocabulary of terms where there's small pamphlets which go through ones on power, ones on gender, ones on colonialism, ones on anarchism, and just as sort of little distributable pamphlets to talk about the ways we think about these concepts. So it's just like we're trying through many different mediums to put these ideas in this form of thinking out there, and not to tell people what they should be thinking, but to kind of contribute to a conversation and invite other people to be part of that conversation too. So a lot of the board members, all of us are, we're sort of located throughout the US and Canada. A lot of us are writers. All of us have activist backgrounds of some sort or another. And we also think about our intellectual work as being in the service of struggle, of emancipation, not as being some sort of academic exercise. So because a lot of us are writers, a lot of us had proposals for this series as well. So we try to solicit as many other people who we think are going to make good contributions to write a book, but in the meantime, some of us had some as well. And I sort of jumped into this one because a lot of other people in the pipeline weren't ready with their projects yet, so mine sort of got fast-tracked because I could. But I'm really excited about some of the ones that are upcoming. So No One Is Illegal is gonna put one into the series. Anarchists Against the Wall is working on one. The next one coming up is by Javier Cepnis Castro on climate change. So there's a lot of exciting books coming up in the series.
All right, again, so we've been speaking with Maya Ramnath, who's the author of Decolonizing Anarchism, An Anti-Authoritarian History of India's Liberation Struggle. It can be ordered through AK Press, akpress.com, and you can also find information about the Institute for Anarchist Studies and this book series at anarchist-studies.org. Maya, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.